I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it as always. And Julie, hi, how are you today?
Hi, I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm good. It's a beautiful, beautiful day in the neighborhood today. It started out with soggy yesterday, started out a little bit cloudy or whatever in the morning, but it's turned out to be a lovely day, not too in the 60s. It's very nice. I'm very happy as I sit here taping the show on Thursday, the 30th. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. So
wow.
last day of April. 2026, 4 months down, Jewel, 4 months.
Yeah,
so here we go. But so, yeah, here doing that. Had a busy week once again, Julie. But I was listening to, I was watching the other day, Ina Garten's show. I love, one thing about me, on Saturdays and Sunday early, after I watch my, I'm a creature of habit with certain shows, and after I watch my Sunday morning, CBS Sunday morning, I will turn on cooking shows. And on Saturday morning, I will sit and watch some cooking shows as well. And I love to do that. I like to have my coffee. And I don't do it as much in the summer because I'm outside more. But, you know, because I'm still inside more and earlier in the morning, I watch that. And I love every bit of it. But anyway, I watched Ina Garten has a couple new shows, and she interviewed Hoda Kotb. And she does is she sort of interviews them at her table, and then they cook mm-hmm. with her. It's really kind of cool. It's called Be My Guest. I don't know if you've seen it, but they're great. So anyway, Hoda was on, and of course she has a podcast, and Ina was saying what she loves on the podcast is that Hoda asks about, tell me about what your childhood bedroom was like. And because that kind of says a lot about you. And so I was thinking about that, and I said, that's a cool thing to ask, because most of us remember what it was and the little things we loved about it, and the collections or the whatever it is that you are and you liked and you had. So I was thinking, Julie, that you and I could talk about
mm-hmm.
what our childhood bedrooms were like, because we talk about so much of our childhood and with our grandmothers and our mothers and what they loved to do and the things we've learned from them and you and all your baking and your whole family can bake like nobody's business and that kind of stuff. And I, you know, and your attention to details of things, you love lovely things. And I think you just learned that from your mothers and our mm-hmm. mothers in so many ways. So, What was your bedroom like, Jules? I'm curious to know the kind of person you are today. I'm curious to see what your bedroom was like.
I don't think anything I'm going to say will surprise you at all, because you know me.
I sure won't.
It was pretty neat. It was robin's egg blue. That was the color I chose. I think it was very nice that my parents asked us as kids, what color do you want your room to be? And we did get to choose that. Yeah, and so I chose robin's egg blue because that was just my favorite. And it was very light and airy. It was a big room with three large windows. And I really loved that there was a pine tree right outside my windows. It was enormous. It's not there anymore because it had to come down at one point. But I would always get to see every spring there would be birds would build a nest like right in front of my window, and I would get to see the baby birds and the mama bird coming and feeding them. And I specifically remember robins nesting in that tree, and it was right at my eye level. So I loved, I mean, I have always been a person who liked to get up early in the morning. I'm happy in the morning. I'm instantly awake. I'm one of those weirdos. And even as a kid, I was like that. And the first thing I would do as a kid was get up and look out the window. And I still do that. I must know what's going on outside immediately. And I don't know if that's normal or not, but that is what I do. I had a big double bed, which was great because I always had a dog that would be sleeping with me. And for my childhood, I had a little poodle, and Saki slept right next to me. And I had a lot of stuffed animals and homemade dolls. My aunt and my grandma were seamstresses, and they made us Raggedy Ann and Andy, like giant-sized ones.
Yep.
And,
yep.
Yeah, so we had those. And I had a rocking chair in there with Raggedy Ann and Andy. I had my Aunt Mary used to make these really gorgeous handmade bunnies and with the little frilly dress on them. They were absolutely stunning. And we found one the other day in a closet. I was cleaning, and I found a bunny. And it had this beautiful satin dress on. The artistry Aww. Of what she did. I mean, so I had all those in this beautiful crib that I believe was also handmade. I think my father made the crib, and then it became mine as I was older to put stuffed animals in. You know, it was just like a decorative piece. And I had a vanity,
right.
As all little girls need a vanity. And I liked that because it was kidney bean shaped, and it had a mirror on top. And it had this very cool drawer where you would slide out like the two pieces, and then you could open the drawer. And it was just a cool, the configuration of it was really neat. And it had a skirt on it. And I had a nice big walk-in closet. I was very lucky to have a lot of space to do these things, you know, because I had the rocker and the cradle with the stuffed animals, and I had a dollhouse in there too. So it was very girly, I suppose. And then for my strawberry shortcake phase, I had the strawberry shortcake bedspread and the strawberry shortcake latch hook rug that I made and the strawberry shortcake pajamas. And, you know, I had the whole, but I had a canopy bed, and That's it. I mean, can you see it? Can you imagine it? I had a lot of pillows on the bed.
I can.
And I was a pretty neat kid, so it wasn't too sloppy. Most of the time, it was pretty put together because I liked to I have my doll collection in my bookcase, and I liked things to be where I could find them and in order, even as a little kid. I'm still like that. I like things to be in order.
Love it.
It doesn't always happen that way, but yeah. What did yours look like?
Well, we moved to our home that I grew up until I was 7 years old. We lived in a little house, and I don't really remember what that room was like. I know we had twin beds, my sister and I, and then my Nana joined in, and my mother bought this beautiful red, almost like a day bed, and it was beautiful. It was red, and it had... It was like a country red, and around the top of the spindles, there was a yellow, like a buttery yellow and a real pretty buttery green color that wrapped around. It was really cool, and it had four spindles and a chunky bottom. And so my grandmother moved in, and she moved into our room with us. And so, I don't remember exactly what the room was like. I know that my brother's room had this like light that was on a white, and this is in our first house, had a white cord coming down, and it was a big round ball light, and it had all different color, like piece. It almost looked like pieces of glass that were sticking out all around this light, and when you lit up, you turn the light on, you could see the colors, and somehow we got the bright idea that we could stand on my brother's dresser and jump on that light and swing off of it, and we did. My sister and I did it, and we pulled the light down from the wall. It was hysterical. I mean, my mother was so mad at us, but we did do it.
Oh.
But anyway, so I always remember that lamp, but then or that light. But then we moved up to North Main, the 800 in North Main, and we were the house was all remodeled. It was a duplex, actually, and it was all remodeled before we moved in. And so we moved one of our bedrooms. Again, Barbara and I were in our twin beds, but then we were getting the attic remodeled, which is where my sister and I had our really cool, you know, bedroom. And so you, at the top of the steps from the first floor to the second, you made a hard right, and the attic door was there, and then you went up two flights of about maybe six stairs each, and then there was a landing and six more. And so my mother got this beautiful Berber rug. It was paneled. Just remember this. This was early 70s, probably 70, right. 71. And we paneled the whole bottom part. So going up the steps, the bottom part, then there was a built-in air conditioner that went outside as well. It was put in. And then you walked up some other steps. And the Berber carpeting was I love Berber. It's very flat. And it was like, it had a lot of different colors, but it was like cranberry kind of color. And there were some black threads and blue threads, but it was primarily, if you said the color, it was more on the cranberry side.
Okay.
And then you would walk up to the top steps, and then there was a hole right on the other side of the attic, because now this is the, you know, the knee walls and the dormers and stuff. My mother had a cedar closet built. And then next to the cedar closet was a little, like, cubby where you could walk behind the back. Like, that was much really walk, but there was storage then behind there. And so we had white furniture, and the paneling was on the lower part, and then all of the top part, all of the walls above were wallpapered with this gorgeous flowered print. It had reds and dark, all kinds of, like, beautiful, like, blues and greens and oranges and yellows and red flowers. And it was a beautiful match to the floor. So all of these beautiful colors on the wall of these big, beautiful flowers. And there was a window seat with, because the only two windows were the front part where the dormer went out. And there was a window seat there built in for storage. And we had, my mother had made gingham, pink and white gingham check, window seat, like a cushion on the window seat. And then our coverlets on our bed, we had eyelet dust ruffles and red and pink and white gingham plaid ruffled, like edged, like coverlets on the bed, and the shams to match. And then the white, my sister and I each had our own desk with the white, pretty white chair with the cushions made for the chairs that matched the pink and white.
Nice.
And then there was a set of three drawer dresser and a shelving unit that sat on top of it, on which were my Madame Alexander Little Women dolls that I collected. And they were so old, at some point they literally disintegrated. Honest to God, I picked them up one day and they literally fell apart. And I love Madame Alexander. So my mother, we loved Little Women. And so we had all the Little Women dolls, and everything was so pretty. And I remember going to Rocky Glen, and I bought a big lollipop, one of those real big lollipops, Julie, that swirls around with the way that they make it with the candy. And I tied a ribbon around the top of it, and I put two little holes in the paneling, and I hung the lollipop over my desk because I had, like, my pin board there, you know, my cork board above it with everything. And it was the prettiest room, with a cedar closet that we used as our closet. My mother had parts of her stuff in there, but then we just put all of our stuff. It was so pretty with all those colors and the white furniture and the beds. And the beds were, like, if you walked up, you couldn't see the beds because they were back against the knee wall. So there was a slope above us where we slept. And they were tucked in, and it was just, you know, we didn't have a chair because we had the chairs for our desk, but we had the window seats. Like, if we wanted to read or do whatever, we could, you know, sit there.
I love that.
It was so pretty, and it was very put together. And my mother did a great job of decorating, and, you know, with us in mind, wanting it to be very girly. And it was our little pad in the sky. Nobody could bother us. And My brothers never went up there because it was, you know, why would they?
Right.
And but before we moved up there, I was in the front room, like next to my mother and father's room, and I used to have a David Cassidy poster hanging on the back of that door that I used to, because he was my guy, Partridge Family, and I sang Happy Birthday to the poster every April 12th, Julia, I'll tell you that, for several years until I realized I was goofy and did it. But anyway, that was my, that was our bed, and it was such a pretty little room, and you know, it still has all of those things other than the furniture in my mother's house. And it was, but we thought it was really cool. So when I bought a house, we remodeled here when my kids were little. And when I bought my house that I live in now, we remodeled the attic. And that's where the kids, the boys' bedroom was as well, because it was like, hey, we were cool up there and you guys can be too. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was great. But I know we have to take a quick break. So we will be right back. You're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show. Hope you like our bedroom stories.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now, and whatever the heck Hyrox is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Bellassai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Bellassai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, what the heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Bellassai wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is the lovely Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel, tell them what you can do.
Thanks so much, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, just visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
There we go. So thank you for indulging us with our bedroom talk, as I said at the very end. Thanks for listening, which is always cute to figure out what people are like now. And when we hung up, Julie said, I guess I know where you got your decorating flair. And I said my mother was very good about those things. So, yes, it is. It's fun. But, Jewel, we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on around this joint, the about town that I have been, as which seems to be never ending. Where were we? We taped last Thursday. So last Thursday night afterwards, I met my three girlfriends, Mary Jean Hunt, Sandy Pagnotti, and Mary Beth D'Andrea, and we all went to Russell's and had a nice little get-together from our Sabika jewelry days, and we had a lot of fun. So big shout-out to those girls. I love them, and we always have a good time, and we always go to Alfredo's. We are making a switch-up this next time, but anyway. And then on Friday night, Jules, was the Broadway show Clue. Now, the interesting part of the Clue play at the Cultural Center is usually 9 out of 10 times the Cultural Center or the Broadway Theater will bring musicals to our season lineup. But Clue was the first in a long time straight play that we had with, you know, no orchestra, no, it's not a musical, no singing at all. So it was absolutely wonderful. I mean, I don't know if you love the Clue, the game Clue, but I love it, so I couldn't wait to see it.
Of course, I do.
And it did not
Yeah,
so there you go. And it did not disappoint. It was about an 80-minute show, straight through, no intermission, which are my kind of shows. And it was absolutely incredible. Every actor was portrayed beautifully. What they did was great. And it was, the butler was hysterical. He was so good and so funny. It was packed. We had a great weekend, but that show was terrific. And it just was a great night. So I was thrilled, and we were in and out of there early, and I loved it. So anyway, if you ever get a chance to see Clue, do it because it's really good. But that cast was superb. And then on Saturday night, Julie, we did the You Live Here, You Should Know This game for the Lackawanna Historical Society. And we did it a new place. We did it at the Art House, which Marianne did come on and talk about. And it was lovely. And it was right at theater number one. And so people were all in the seats as though they were in the theater, and we were like right underneath the screen. And it was great. So Evie Rafalco and I, there were eight teams, and Evie and I were one of them. And we actually won, Julie. Wait, we won the first round. Yes, we did win. We did kick rear end. It was great. We had great questions, and yeah, I was thrilled with it. Some things you just don't know, and you know them, but you can't remember, or you're like, wait, you read it because you're on the spot and you have to do it in 15 seconds.
Right.
It's just a lot that you try to remember, and so anyway, it was good. I thought it was great. And
what were some of the questions?
I can't. What's the railroad in Waverly? And of course I know it's something to that effect, and I know it's the Gravity Railroad, but I couldn't rethink of it. Then they had questions like, "What is on the?" This was the second game, but it said, "What is?" This was worth the highest points. Kurt Aaron from WNEP was Animal Kingdom was the name of the. The category, and he said, "What are the names of?" Oftentimes, meteorologist Kurt Aaron has his two dogs on TV with him. What are their names? And of course, I know their names because I watch.
Right.
I always watch 28, 22 in the morning and usually at night. But if I watch at 10, the 10 o'clock news, if I want to get to bed a little earlier and I watch the news at 10, I will see that. And sometimes Kurt's on and the dogs are there, and I know their names. And do you know, I could not for the life of me remember. And then I said Rocky, and then I remembered that picture that I just told you about with Evie. She's looking at it. She goes, "What's the name?" And then I'm like, "Ranger." And then I remembered it was Ranger. So thank God. But it was Rocco and Ranger. And so, I mean, if you don't watch Channel 16 ever, you're never going to know what the names of those dogs are. So, I mean, you just don't know at any of these things. But there were a lot of different things. We had a Pictionary one, which I loved, because that kind of stuff is where how my mind works. Like, you have to figure out what the name of the town was based on the pictures, and I love that. I love to do that kind of stuff. So I nailed that category. That was pretty good. But there was just a lot of other things. For whatever reason, one of them I just guessed. The name was Oppenheim for the Scranton Dry Goods. They're like, you have to give your first and last name. And I'm like, oh, my God. I know it's Oppenheim. And I'm like, all right. Well, you know what? I'm just going to guess. I'm going with Isaac. Because there was so much mention of Isaac Tripp and everything through. Well, guess what? Marianne goes, "Is that your answer?" I go, "Yeah." And she goes, "You're right." I said, "What?" Like, I had no idea.
I didn't know that.
I had absolutely no idea. And then there was something about a state. I forget what the question was. And Evie said, she just took a guess at the state. She goes, "Connecticut." I don't know. And she goes, "You're right." And Evie was like, "Oh, my God." So there were just things that we really pulled them out of our, you know what. We won the first one. Then we had to play another round, and we were against Gerard Heppman and Owen, who I can't – you know Owen from
I think you're a formidable team there. Yeah.
They are. How do you say Owen? Okay, worth it. They are incredible. Incredible.
Yeah.
And so they won.
The
and so then.
People, I figured they were the team to beat when you told me who was playing. They are so on top of it. I'm telling you. Yeah.
Well,
they're both.
Well, the name of their team is three-time champs. So, and I said, you know, in fairness, I said, in fairness, everybody, Owen does this for a living, really. So,
right.
You know, and he goes, you know what, she's right, I do. But they were so good, and so we had to play them for the semifinals. And I'm like, I'm just, Evie, why don't we just say we lost? Because she goes, don't say that, we're getting, and anyway, we got up and we had fun. But they kicked our rear end, of course.
Yeah.
And then they were in the finals against the Oliver men. You know Chris Oliver from Toyota?
I don't.
Christine Oliver. I don't. Anyway, her husband and son, Jack. Jack's on our board. They had a team.
Okay.
And they were against Owen and Gerard Heppman. And actually, the Oliver men won. They beat the other guys.
Wow.
So, which was amazing because it was like when Dom Keating used to be on the you didn't have a chance to win against Dominic Keating. But now,
right.
So now you have Owen and Gerard who just really do a great job. But it was a lot of fun. And we had Margie Moyle and Bridget Kozorowski were a team and they were funny. But I will say, I was just at Nada's and Nada said, I meant to send you an Evie. A note because you two were hysterical. And one thing we added was sheer comedic value to that show. And we had a blast and everybody laughed their rear ends off at us. So it was a lot of fun. And we had a great time. Julie, I was thrilled and it's so much fun. So if you're listening and you feel that you would want to get up there and make a fool out of yourself by not knowing the answers, Marianne's always looking for extra people. But here's the difference. You get up there and it's being taped for TV. For Mark McGlory was there taping for ECTV. So everybody can come and watch it, listen and pay attention to it again. And you have to just go up there and have fun. It's all for the fun of the game and for the sponsorship, you know, it's a fundraiser. And you just got to do it because not everybody would put themselves out there to fail because you just don't know what the answers are. You don't know if you're going to know it. You just don't. It's just like any Jeopardy game. You just don't. But it was a lot of fun. And, you know, the naysayers or the people who can say, oh, well, you get up there and do it. Let's see how you make out. That's how I say what I say all the time about anything. Don't criticize until you're doing it.
Right. Were you nervous going into it?
No, not at all. I never, that kind of, honest to God, I've been doing it for so many years. Evie and I have been partners now for, I'm going to say maybe 5 years. And we're just funny together. And so you just got to go up and laugh at yourself and say, you know, how many of you people knew that answer? You know?
Right.
So it doesn't matter. We just do it. We have fun. We do it for the cause, and it was a blast. It was by so quickly, and it was nice having it there. I really liked it at the Art House because they also have that little restaurant area. You know, they have popcorn, which, of course, I had to get some popcorn. Evie and I got there early. We went to Mass for some spiritual healing, so to speak, and please, God, let us not bomb up there. And so Evie and I went to 4 o'clock Mass at ICC. And then we went down early and we sat, we had a little bite to eat. And then Meyer joined us and then everybody else rolled in and we just had a blast. We had so much fun and I just love doing that every year. It's great. And the kids do a wonderful job. Everybody who's involved, it's just so much fun. And so, I don't know. You don't know that the time passes very quickly, and you learn. You learn things because if you're sitting there paying attention, you learn. And there's just so much to be, you know, it's a lot of old history, and I don't know a lot of it, but you do learn from it. So, and Owen, my God, Julie.
I know.
Oh, my God. That guy knows everything.
He's the best.
He knows everything.
I know he does.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
so,
combine him with Gerard, he knows a lot, too. They're a formidable team.
They really are.
You know, good for everybody who did it.
Yeah, and they're young. These guys are young, you know, and they have so much local knowledge, and it's amazing. They do great job where they work, and they I ran into Gerard last night. So I'll tell you a little bit where I was last night after break. But that's, yeah, we were talking. I said, congratulations, you did a great job. So anyway, so we're going to take a quick break, aren't we, Jewel?
Yep, it's time.
All right, there we go. And we will be right back. We appreciate you listening. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is the lovely Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Julie, tell them what you can do.
Thanks so much, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, just visit my website, juliedimmel.com.
There we go. And so, anyway, Jewel, I have lots of other stuff. After Saturday night event, we, on Sunday morning, a bunch of us took a little ride on the train from Pittston to Jim Thorpe. And it was a beautiful time. We had a great day. It was a little cool, but it was a lovely day. We took the ride. You learned. You listened. There were two other stops after Pittston. Took 2 hours to get there, but it didn't matter because it was a cool way to travel, and I just love train rides. The seats are very comfortable. They had a little dining car. There was, you know, you could go and get snacks or coffee or soda or water and candy and a couple little goodies and stuff like that, and so it was very nice. The restrooms were on the train, so it was a lovely experience. And we went into Jim Thorpe, and pulled right up at the train station, and we went to Molly Maguire's, an Irish bar and pub, for lunch, and had some lunch there. I wasn't thrilled with it. It wasn't terrible, but I was, you know, anyone who's gluten-free, and I will get on the bandwagon about this. I don't understand how in 2026, with so many people with gluten situations or people who just don't want to eat gluten, that they don't have things that accommodate gluten-free, like wraps or bagels or bread or something that you can offer someone who wants a sandwich that you can do for them. And there's just no excuse for it, especially for bread. There's so many things you can do, and all you have to do is pay attention and don't cross-contaminate and do the right thing. There's plenty of things here, wonderful restaurants in our neck of the woods that do just that. I'm going to name them fast. Danlin, the Downtown Deli, Mansour's, Abe's, just to mention a few of my four favorites. They all have things that accommodate gluten-free people. So there's no reason that Jim Thorpe and Molly Maguire should not have something to accommodate. So they had nothing from a sandwich standpoint. I mean, I ended up getting a chicken sandwich without the bun, and it was fine. It was okay. So I was that disappointed. And no fresh iced tea. They had the tap, Lipton iced tea tap. That drives me nuts, too. Make iced tea. Stop being lazy. But anyway, so we had a good time, and then we walked up all around Broadway and went into a few stores. But it was nothing like I thought it would be. There's beautiful old buildings, and it's a hustly, bustly town. But I thought I was going to see more boutiques and things that I would like to see. There were more novelty stores. Even the Irish store didn't have a whole lot of, I mean, they had some stuff, but it wasn't what I expected.
Is the candy store still there?
Yeah, I did go into a candy store, and I did.
Yeah,
it wasn't that. There were some old-fashioned candies. Yeah, I did get some candy. We did go in there, and the lady was wonderful. And that was really nice. It was a neat old store. Yeah. And the town itself is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. We loved walking around. There's a pretty library with a metal gate, and we went in and sat in there for a while, and like outside in the little park area. And then, you know, you just, you know, walk around and look around and see, and it was very, very nice. And then we went back to the middle right outside of the station where they have, you know, all kinds of trucks, and they had fresh-made orangeade, the fresh-made lemonade. The orangeade, Julie, by the way, which I'm a big fan of, was delicious. And then Billy Padula runs a stand. Now, Billy's brother, Eugene, has Carmella's on North Main Avenue in Westside, and he sells wonderful Italian pastries. So Billy goes there every weekend, and I forgot that he was there. And so I'm sitting at one of the tables we were at, and I'm like, oh, my God, look at all those Italian. And I knew, because I had talked to Billy, that this is what he does on the weekends. And I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's Billy. So I got up and went over. Brenda Bisocchi was with me, and we went over to see him. And so it was so good to see him and his two women who work for him with the weed. They were delightful. One was Loretta, and I can't think of what the other one's name is. So big shout out. They were great. The pastries looked, I wish I could eat them. I can't because they're loaded with gluten, but delicious. I brought a bunch home for my, you know, Tom and Tommy, and everybody ate stuff, and they were delighted with it. So it was great to see people. And then while we're standing there, who do we run into but Sandra Hailstone and Daniel Hailstone and Sandy's daughter, Lily. So it was like old home week with Billy Padula and Loretta from our neck of the woods, and then Sandy and Daniel and Lily, and then all of us. And it was great. So it was a big Scranton connection there, Dunmore Scranton. It was great. But the town is absolutely beautiful. They also have a trolley that we wanted to go on, but we couldn't because it was stopped for the day. And I guess it's an hour ride or so, but it takes you everywhere up to the Packer mansion and all up the high. It just takes you all around the city to see it from a different perspective. So we decided Evie was coming with us, but she couldn't make it that day. So I told her we're going to go again, and we will take, as soon as we get off the train, we're going to take the trolley then. And then there was a cool pizza place, and I will give them credit for this. It's called Antonio's, and Randy Williams ran in and said, do you guys have gluten-free pizza? And they said, yes, we do, and they showed Randy what it looks like. So we decided, we already have our plan. We're going to go take the train, then go to the trolley, see around town in a different, get a different perspective, and then we're going to go grab a pizza at Antonio's. That's our plan. Stop at the candy store, Jewel.
Yes, you have to stop at the candy store.
Yeah, it was a nice, easy day, and it all worked out to be a lovely time. And we had a blast, and the weather was good, and we just had so much fun. So if you think about that, take that ride. $39 round trip. It was great, and we had a good time. And Jim Thorpe is a beautiful town, beautiful. And I went last night, Julie. I went to St. Francis of Assisi Kitchen, had their fundraiser at Fiorelli's. Donna Barbetti is the chairman of the board of that fundraising organization, that part of the fundraising end of it. And she and Michael Cummings was the chair of the host for a day. That he did a great job. But it was a great turnout. I want to give a big shout out to Maria Colarossi, who went to school with my brother Timmy, and she's now Maria McCool. She's on that board. I saw Randy Palko, who's also on the board. Lots of people. Donnie Broderick was there. Michelle Bannon, the mayor of Carbondale, Frank Ruggiero was there, Judge Ruggiero. So there, Frank Castellano and Cammie we sat with. The DiMatteos were there. They gave up their seats for Deb and me because they were leaving. And we just had a great time. And then my dear friend Karen Jackson, who I graduated high school with, Karen Jackson Lieber, her Aunt Kay and her husband were there. We sat at their table, so big shout out to them. And Mrs. Jackson, we were talking about, who I just absolutely love, Karen's mom, was one of the most beautiful. You know when you're a little girl, Julie, and you remember your friend's moms? And I remember being so impressed with Mrs. Jackson, Mary Ellen Jackson, because she was so beautiful. And Karen is the same way. Karen is gorgeous, and she always was. And every time I remember Mrs. Jackson, I always remember as this stunning, stunning woman when I met Karen when I was 8 years old. And so big shout out to them. I love you, Mrs. Jackson. You're a great lady, and you'll always be in my mind that way. But your sister Kay is a doll, and we had some nice conversation. And so that was a busy night, crazy. It started to pour on the way home, so it was a little yucky. But it was, lots to do, Julie, lots going on. That's pretty much, we did Maureen McGuigan's event is coming up. I did a talk of the town this week for Maureen's, for the Philharmonic, which is going to be the 6th of May. And they're honoring Maureen, a tribute to the arts, Bravo, a tribute to the arts with Maureen. And that's at a manor on Maine on Wednesday night. So, it's all coming together. It's all working out. We had a lot of fun, but this week was busy, Julie, as I just reported. But and we had our meeting, our ACE meeting with Maureen. I'm on the board for the Arts and Culture organization with the county, and watch out for Scrantastic this year. The full orchestra is playing on July 3rd at the courthouse for the 4th of July, and vendors and musicians, and then the end of the night will be the wonderful, and the fireworks are bigger and better this year too, because it's the 250th anniversary of our wonderful country, as we know. And so all of that's happening. So we got the scoop on that. Maureen talked about all of what's happening with all the wonderful artists and the fact that we have 67 counties in the state of Pennsylvania, and we are the only county out of 67 that has an art and culture tax that is used to further artists to hone their craft and to get their craft out to the public and see what they have to offer. And it's a wonderful thing that they have, and we should all be very proud of that, because where the arts are, it's a more vibrant community, and I totally believe that. And again, big shout out to Maureen McGuigan. And if you want to go, give them a call. Check out www.nepaphil.org, and see if you want to do that for the night. But it's going to be lovely. So anyway, that's my story. That was my week, Jewel. It was filled with lots going on. And this weekend, Julie, guess what? Calm.
What?
No running. You're crazy.
So you think. So you
With
think.
The help of God, that'll be it. Yeah, that'll be it. But no, I don't have any big plans. Any big plans. Just out to dinner Saturday night. Other than that, no. So,
right. Well, we'll see.
And we have the Wright Center. No, but we Friday night, which you'll be already finished, but we were at the Wright Center golf tournament. Randy Williams and I are going to the dinner part of it. So I'll talk about that next week, but we're hoping they had, because Kara was on and we talked about that. So that's all I can tell you, folks. So thank you so much for listening to us. We will see you next week. I hope you have a wonderful weekend and a good week. And again, thank you. Please be safe and please be nice. Bye-bye.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.